This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 25th of February, 1964. The title of this lecture is What Auditing Is and What It Isn't. This tape is 88 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. I like you, too. I'm the first survivor to return from the Battle of the Goals plot. The casualties have been pretty heavy, but fortunately it's mostly in terms of GPMs. I was just telling Ridge that there isn't anybody could have done it. And then he suddenly looked at me and he says, but you did it. And I said, yes. I said, that's the joke. But the progress is going along. You're very lucky. That's all I got to say. If any one of you had gone into this flying blind with your hands tied behind your back, why, you would have come up a mass of putty. Trickery. The actual GPM contains trickery. Treachery. It's no wonder they never came apart. No wonder. And that's why we teach Class 6 at St. Hill, and a few years from now, when there have been a lot of St. Hill graduates, a lot of successes, and we made a lot of OTs and so forth, several years from now, why, we'll let central orgs teach this stuff. The franchised auditor who is sitting out there right now waiting for the next bulletin on Class 6, he's going to be very upset because I would just as soon place in his hands a hand grenade with a pin drawn. See? You know, here you are, you know. You see, as long as we were in old R3, we weren't deep enough to do anything to anybody. That was perfectly all right. You couldn't mess anybody up at R3. R4, we were still running at too shallow draft to upset anybody. Moved it into R6, you see, and all of a sudden you stand there looking at the real tiger. These things had enough charge on them, so then you could take off surface locks to a tremendous degree. And just as in processing, level by level, you can take off surface locks. Well, so in these goals, actual GPM processes, you see, you could also take them off at various levels. So at R3, find a goal and run a terminal. Nothing to that. Fairly safe. You could do any of those variations because you really weren't handling anything, don't you see? And you finally get down to... You finally get down to a pose. Why, you can run a whole GPM on a pose. You can find 70 items. PC has tremendous numbers of cognitions. Everything happening. As a matter of fact, I might even hand it out sometime as a process, you see? Let anybody run it. You see? Wouldn't do them any damage. Lots of charge comes off. Lots of TA action. You see? Now, the moment that it's moved into the bracket of solve, the moment that you move it down toward a command like solve on an actual GPM, you're between the devil and the deep blue sea. You're close enough to the real tiger so that he can knock your head off, but not close enough so that you can get back at him. So it becomes, at that point, a very dangerous process. Now you take R6, where you're handling nothing but purebred Bengal-type tigers, starved for a long time, and you take somebody that could have run the opposed line, you see. You take somebody that could have run the opposed line very easily. You know, find a goal, doesn't matter really. If wrong goal, right goal, it wouldn't have upset him too much. And he goes along, that type auditor, see. And then you just nonchalantly say, all right, well, just go through that door. All right. And you find there on your right, you'll find a rather flimsy chair. Pick that up. Oh, is that what I'm supposed to do? Yeah, that's all you're supposed to do, and then you lift the cage door at the far end, and in come the tigers, you see. honest, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. I have found enough aberration. You often want to know, if you want to know what it takes to make a Thetan aberrated, you have to find enough aberration to account for the fact that a powerful being would now be unpowerful, see? How would he get in that state? Well, actually, it's a direct proportion. It takes as much aberration as he was powerful. And there's that much aberration on the GPM, actual GPM line. I guarantee you there is enough. And there's also quantitatively and qualitatively enough. Actually, then the whole of auditing is simply peeling down toward these things from the first time you have a person sit in his chair, you see, and it's a, he's taken off some of the top crust. And it's perfectly safe on up to 4 service facsimiles, so forth. It's even safe into, as I told you, it's even safe into finding a goal and running a pose on the items. Perfectly safe. Nothing to that. Now you really got to be an expert from there on. Well, this is just a prelude to this lecture. This has nothing to do with it. I was just saying hello and telling you about where the score was about now. We got it licked. There's no doubt about that. But them tigers have got some pieces of cloth in their teeth. All right, what's the date? 25th? It's the 25th? No kidding. 25th of February, AD 14, St. Hill Special Briefing Course Student Lecture. All right. We got some business today. We got some business to transact. These are data vitally necessary to the auditing of Class 6. And if you're very clever, you cannot do without them at the lower levels. The main problem with the data I'm giving you is that until you get to Class 6, you can sometimes get away with it. At about level Class 4 is about the first time you could start teaching it. And it would be terribly useful at Class 1. But you can't teach it at Class 1. You can teach it, and then the fellow will think he knows it, but by the time he's gotten up to 3 or 4, he would have to be taught it again because it would have brand new values. By the time he gets to 6, he can't audit without it. And that's very peculiar, then, to go into this level, and you're about to see some of the very fundamentals of auditing, which will explain to you why auditing has or has not worked, here, there, and so on, and which will be very valuable to you at any level that you're operating at in Scientology. So this lecture actually is useful for all levels and would be quite good at the lower levels, but probably could only be taught at about level 4 with any real comprehension. By the time you get up to levels 5 and 6, it becomes vital, not slight. Because omission of this data brings about catastrophe. Now let us take this up then in a very rat-a-tat-tat fashion, and if you get this down, if you get this all squared away and get this all aligned in anything under 15 or 20 hours of study, why, I'll be very proud of you. Because the first moment that you see this, you'll all say yes, 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 and then you'll go tanglefoot with it. Because it's this type of data. It's too simple. I was tangle-footing Susie Bell the other day with it, so don't expect to grab it at the first brass ring. First thing I want to tell you, though, is there's something here to grasp. You have to grasp it with your total comprehension. And it's so confounded simple that, see, I was using a very cruel example with her. I'll give you the same example. Here we have a Ronson lighter in a little hide case. All right? Now, the task is to put the Ronson lighter there on that paper, you see, and then put it over here on these pencils, and then put the Ronson lighter in the center of the desk. Now, that's the totality of the operation. We've got this object here, and we want to put it on this piece of paper, and then we're going to move it over on top of these pencils, and then we're going to put it in the center of the desk. Now, let me show you what happens with this operation. We put it over here, and we say, is that over there? And somebody we're trying to train says, yes, but that's got a hide case. And you say, yeah, well, that's true. However, I want you to put it down over here on this piece of paper. Yes, but hide, you know. I imagine the Ronson Company must have some kind of a contract with the Indians up in Alaska. And you say, yeah, I'm sure they do. Sure they do. Yes, but I want you to put it down over here in this paper. Yeah, but you know, it must be a terrific amount of trouble portaging skins. You know, they got a skin there, and they must have that. It must come from Alaska there. And they must have a terrific time trying to get these skins down the river. And I wonder what design the Indians have on their paddles. And you say, all right, that's fine. But all we want you to do is put this object on this piece of paper. Yeah, but the Ronson Company doesn't make paper. So when I tell you about the design on the Indians' paddles with regard to this, while I'm giving you this lecture, you know what I'm talking about. Because you can make more complexity whenever you try to hand out an absolutely simple datum in its complete naked purity. It, of course, blows more confusion in more directions you can shake stick at, and you just have to keep working with it. Now, this actually is coached material. Till a person can take this and ask the question and get the answer, and there's no design on the paddles that are coming down the Yukon, see? They put, you've got a future here in just this. Now, let's just go at it to hammer and pound. Let me give you first a very, very brief outline of what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you the difference between auditing and assessing, destimulating and erasing, the difference between a present time problem and an ARC break. This is terribly elementary propositions. And the targets of the auditor, what he fronts. All right, that doesn't sound like very much, does it? But, brother, I know. All right, let's take up right away, quick, the last one I mentioned, which is targets of the auditor. The auditor has two targets. He has the PC and he has the bank. When an auditor speaks, he is speaking to either the PC or the bank. That's just crystal clear data. That's two targets. He says, how are you feeling? Or he says, caterwomp. He says, caterwomp, and the bank goes, crunch. See? He says, how are you feeling? And the PC says, well, let's see, I'm feeling so. You understand? There are two things that an auditor talks to. Two things. One is the PC, the other is the bank. Auditing is addressed on the auditing cycle to the PC, and assessment is addressed to the bank. Once more, very, very simple. Nothing to this at all. You're saying caterwomp, cat whiskers, bat fur, and so forth. You're talking to the bank and reading the result on the meter, or reading the result on the PC's eyeballs. I don't care what you're reading the result on, but you're talking to the bank. Now, you understand then that when you are talking to the PC, when the auditor is addressing the PC, that he very often re-stimulates the bank. He very often has an effect or an influence on the bank. Very often. But that does not debar it at all. Sometimes when assessing, the PC talks, and the auditor has to acknowledge the origin and so forth. But these are separate actions. And if you could only see them as separate actions, you would save yourself a great deal of complexity in the matter. All right. Now, two targets. The auditor has the target of the PC, A. Thetan, or the bank. Very good. There are therefore two types of processes, but they are not processes. One of them is not a process at all, and you're about to get your first headache, is not auditing. Now, what is auditing? Auditing is an operation which culminates in destimulation or erasure. It has only two end products, destimulation and erasure. You can get the PC to dust himself off, or you can use the PC like you would an ink eraser to scrub off the piece of bank that you're heading for. In other words, you can get the PC out of it, or you can use the PC to wipe it out. Many auditors have the custom of using the PC to wipe out pieces of the bank, and then in view of the fact they can't wipe that bank out totally, then using the PC to wipe out another piece of bank, which they can't wipe out totally, so they try to wipe out another piece of bank. The PC comes to session, he's got a present time problem, so they try to wipe out the present time problem, but they already haven't wiped out the service facsimile they were auditing yesterday, so now they've got this present time problem, so they're going to erase this present time problem, and they can't really erase the present time problem because halfway through the present time problem, the PC comes up with the fact that he's worried about his mother, and when he was young, he was very worried about his mother, so now we try to erase mother, and having in the process of erasing mother, of course, we run into such father, so we try to erase father, and so forth. This is what is known as, this type of auditor is known as a mudder. All he wants to do is erase. Throw the PC into the heavy energy and use him as an ink eraser. See, that's perfectly legitimate on erasure and so forth, as long as you complete your cycles of action. But practically all of the early levels of auditing are destimulation, which means you unrestimulate what has already been restimulated. I refer you to earlier lectures on the subject of stimulation and destimulation. What you're trying to do here is take the dogs that are barking at them and get them to lie down quietly. Erasure would be to go over and eat up all the dogs, you see? But all you want these dogs to do is lie down quietly and the PC to come away from there. That's destimulation, don't you see? So we have this PC, and he has got a present time problem, and therefore is not in the auditing room, and therefore is not in session. So we say, what kind of a problem? What's this problem all about? And he says, well, about so-and-so. Well, it's about my early life. All right, what about your early life? Well, I used to have an awful lot of trouble with boys in my early life. Well, did you ever have any fight with boys in your early life? All right, that's good. Pick up that early fight that you have an overt against boys when you're very young. Oh, that's good. You got hurt, huh? Like, where's somatic? What are you doing? Your PC wasn't in the auditing room to be audited. The PC was elsewhere. So, you sent him elsewhere. Now, what do you think this PC is going to do? It means that you can never complete your cycle of action because the PC is elsewhere when he begins the session. You've got to get the PC here before you can complete your cycle of action. Now, therefore, you never have a chance of completing yesterday's auditing if you can't get the PC into the session today. So, if the PC has picked up new problems or new difficulties in life, between sessions, this is quite common, I am told. And if the auditor does nothing but plunge and Q&A with this new situation which has arisen, he of course never cleans up yesterday's cycle of action. You follow that? Well, destimulation is the only tool or the only action you can undertake to get a PC oriented and located, and if an auditor cannot destimulate a PC, he of course can never follow his own cycle of action. Do you see that? The PC's restimulation takes charge, so therefore you can never bring it up to a point where you can finish that problems intensive you started last August. And ever since that time, he kept coming to session, and we had other things to handle. We've always got other things to handle if we can't destimulate the PC. So therefore, the destimulation of a PC is a very, very important skill. Very, very important skill. There are various mechanisms by which one destimulates the PC. Running engrams, no matter what process you use to run the engrams, running engrams running RIs, implant GPMs, RIs, actual GPMs, I say implant GPM RIs, and actual GPMs, all are under the heading of erasure. They're nothing but erasure. That's using the PC to eat up the dogs, you see. Now, there's always a certain amount of erasure takes place, even in destimulation. A tiny amount takes place, you see. Let me give you an idea of destimulation and erasure and how one operates somewhat with the other one. PC's fallen down, hurt his knee, we use an old-time assist. We say, where did you hurt it, and where are you now, and where did you hurt it, and where are you now? And what we're trying to do then is simply destimulate it. We're trying to get the PC out of that area of time and that location and get him where he is now sitting, you see? That's destimulation. We're not trying to do anything about the injury. We're just trying to get the PC to sit there in front of us. In the process of doing this, you will notice the PC quite commonly turns on somatics. A certain amount, then, of the incident or injury runs out in the process of destimulation. Most wonderful example of this I ever saw, and I remember vividly, happened at 42 Aberdeen Road with no less a person than Burke Belknap. Burke was having a lot of trouble case-wise, and he was having a lot of difficulty somehow or another, and I straight-wired him, and it happened in the little office just inside the door. Any of you there were there? And he was standing up against the wall, and I gave him a bit of straight wire, and gave him a clip, bing, bang, hit the locks, the key ins, this little incident had to do with this. And man, he came straight up, PT practically clear, right there, see? You know, terrific result, you know, bang, you know, 5 minutes worth of audit, and then wow, we practically got it clear on our hands. You see that kind of action, see? And then I turned him right around into the thing, and erased the top engram on the chain. The second he hit it, it all keyed back in again, and he collapsed, sliding down the wall, and sat on the floor with his head in his hands. He had never felt better and never felt worse in two consecutive seconds of his life. got him out of it, of course. But the first action is destimulation. See, a little straight wire, where was it, you know, and who on, and who did you know that was like that? See, he's complained about a condition, you see. Well, who did you know that was like that? Oh, yeah, Joe, well, did you ever see him? You ever see him acting like that? You see, oh, yes, I did, yes, well, all right, good. Does that have anything to do with the what you're going through right now? Hey, you know, it has a lot to do with it. And the guy right up in present time, bang, see. All we hit was the key ins. We walked no closer to the tiger's cage than the outer perimeter of the bottom seats. We weren't nowhere close. And yet he came away from there, see? Now we go and find what keyed in. And we throw the PC into it and we start erasing this. Well, we can erase it. We've had erasure techniques since the word go. You burn your finger, you very often erase it. Sometimes you destimulate it, sometimes you erase it. You sometimes use a combination of both on some light injury of this particular character. You go to the beginning of the incident and run yourself through to the end of the incident and so on, and eventually all the pain turns off and you're fine. You might, however, just do a touch assist on it, you know, touch it for a while, and you'll feel little pains come off of the thing. So it is very difficult to do a total destimulation. See, that's a difficult thing to do, because a tiny little bit of erasure will occur in any event. But you can do a total destimulation from the basis of totally destimulate something. I'm only saying the one thing you can't do is avoid erasure totally, because just the PC's attention on the subject for that moment necessary, you see, to detach him from the subject may bring about a slight amount of erasure. That's no reason, then, when you wish to destimulate, to become a professional eraser. See, it seems to be an invitation. See, there seems to be an invitation. You're saying, where were you? Where are you now? Where are you? Where are you now? Where were you? Where are you now? Where were you? Where are you now? All right, that's fine. How do you feel? Well, I seem to be stuck with this knee here on the pavement and so forth. Oh, yeah. Well, let's use some effort processing. You see the temptation? See the temptation? Well, the funny part of it is, at that level, you can get away with it. You can take the whole injured knee out. I did this just the other day. I first did a destimulation and got the PC feeling better, and then ran the incident out, oddly enough, with nothing but effort processing. Way back when, you know, because it was a serious concussion. I didn't want this hanging around and so forth. I knew the PC was perfectly capable of doing so. So we actually then went into it and knocked the stuffins out of the incident, you see, and then did a destimulation and so forth, and it all worked out just fine. One of the neatest assists I've done in many a day. But that's a combination of two things, and the auditor should be aware of the fact when he is combining two things. See, we could make the PC feel better by destimulation, you know. Where did it happen? Where are you now? Any such process, destimulation. Now we got the PC feeling a little bit better. Well, we got him a little bit better in control, right? A little bit better in present time. Now we could go back and start at the beginning of the incident, erase it right straight through as an engram. Or we could leave it alone and go on with the program which we started yesterday. But it puts choice back into the auditor's hands. The auditor now has his power of choice over the PC. It so happened with this PC, I didn't have any cycle of action that was taking place yesterday to engage upon. There was no reason not to do this. You understand? So these two things can combine, but they are separate. There's destimulation and there's erasure. Very, very important to realize this. You're going to have headache trying to work this out when you finally get through. I don't mean to be a bad teacher and tell you how confused it all is and how difficult it all is. I tell you, it's very easy if you're just simply willing to grasp it and use it. But along about this time, we get into the paddles business, you see. You see, these birch bark canoes. These birch bark canoes are basically held together with gum, aren't they? Well, does Ronson have anything to do with Wrigley's? Because what happens here? What happens here? The door seems to be wide open here, that if you destimulate, you can then erase. And today we're busy auditing our PC on a prep check on... it gets more complicated in its applications, but the same principles hold. We're prep checking this PC on the subject of... Mataharis, and it's all very fine, and we're prep checking them just dandy, and we're getting a lot of tone arm action, and everything is going along. In actual fact, we're carrying about a destimulative action. Prep check, destimulation, see? Synonymous. We're doing all right here, see, we're going along, and all of a sudden the PC... Tone arm, beautiful, beautiful action on the tone arm, you see. We're still getting nice action, you see. Or maybe it's come to a momentary pause. If we ran it for five more minutes, we'd get five more divisions, you see. And all of a sudden, the PC, unfortunately, for all concerned, happens to remember in the process of doing this that he had a goal to Kidderwidget that was found on him in 1961 that has a lot to do with this. So the auditor says to himself, well, look how much more we could do for this PC, you see, if we found actually the basic reason. So he says, well, this goal to Kidderwidget, is that an actual GPN? Is that an implant GPN? What number is it on the track? Is it upside down? Is it backwards? Well, oddly enough, the difficulty doesn't arise in trying to find this GPM. That's not the difficulty. The difficulty is missing. The difficulty is that you have de-stimulated the subject you were working on previously, Mata Hari's. You've half destimulated, and in the process of destimulating it, you, of course, have somewhat restimulated it, right? So you haven't got it totally destimulated. You've got it slightly restimulated in the process of destimulating it, you see? You're right in this condition where the fellow has fallen down and bruised his knee, and the auditor's trying to get him into the audit room so that he can audit him, see? And then all of a sudden gives up and puts him back on the roadway and starts erasing the knee, you see? Well, if he just kept this up and brought him into the auditing room, it would have been all right, and he could have kept along with another cycle of action. Don't you see? The cycle of action was already in progress. But just in the process of doing this, the fellow's attention, of course, a little bit more goes onto his knee. So you take this PC, whose attention is fairly heavily on Mata Hari. We're destimulating Mata Hari. We're not erasing her, you see. We're just bringing him out. The process of coming out of the door, however, he's still got his feet sort of tangled up with silk stockings, old German documents. And then we've turned around and gone into this other activity, which is never a destimulative activity, which is a cannonball erasure process. You don't destimulate goals. You destimulate the whole track and the actual GPM, or even implant GPM, somewhat like taking somebody up to the top of a springboard and telling him to dive in. And halfway down, you find that nobody put any water in the pool, so you say, go on back up top to the springboard. See? The destimulative activities which can take place now are minimal. Now, it isn't just that. If the auditor had simply made up his mind that it really wasn't Mata Hari, it was goat's milk that was the PC's trouble, and he shifted his prep check to goat's milk, he would have done the same thing. He would eventually wind up all these areas of re-stimulation which he was trying to destimulate, he would have half restimulated them, you see, then not finished the job, and so he would now have Mata Hari and goat's milk. And if he went on with that a short time afterwards and got submarines mixed up into it, he'd now have submarines and Mata Hari and goat's milk. And this is why we would call that auditor a mudder. So there's three actions he can undertake there. One of them is just to give up the destimulative action and say, oh, that's hopeless, because he notices some re-stimulation taking place, and then begin erasure. See, shift his target from destimulation to erasure. Or the next action which he could undertake was shift his target from that he was destimulating from target A while it was re-stimulated to target B while it was re-stimulated, or he could do a proper action. And the proper action is when you set out to destimulate, destimulate. When you set out to erase, erase. And in either event, complete your cycle of action. in either event, complete your cycle of action. If you're going to go into the destimulation activity here and you decide that you had better get this individual destimulated on the subject of home and mother so that you can audit him on the subject of something else or service facts or get someplace on the case because he's PTPs, PTPs, and he's all got PTPs in the outer perimeter of the thing. He's so introverted into his own living room that we could never get him in the auditing room and that sort of thing. All right, we're going to give him a prep check. We're going to isolate what this is. Then his PTPs that is very, very rough. We're going to prep check this thing. All right, finish it. Finish it. Don't say, well, that's good enough. We've got the tone arm action down now. We've got the tone arm action down now to two divisions, TA down in 10 minutes of auditing. We've got this cooled off now, and he doesn't seem to be terribly frantic about it, so now we're going to shift over and do something else. Cow. This is practically murder. By the time you've done that three or four times, you have your PC stuck in the re-stimulation of destimulation, and he doesn't know whether he's coming or going. See what happens when you cross it. All right, let's take the other cycle of action. We're going to erase. You never can erase a single engram, something we didn't know back in 1950. Because we could occasionally erase a single engram. As a matter of fact, you apparently can erase a single engram. Well, let me put it this way. But you often can't. Well, a remedy in that day, you see, was to go find another engram that you could erase, see? Or go earlier. Now, that was what we knew. We knew that you could go earlier, you see. So you couldn't erase this engram, then there must be an earlier engram, and you better go earlier and erase that. That was the only remedy which we had. Therefore, some engrams won't erase. Well, why won't they erase? Because they're on chains. So engrams are always considered to be part of a chain. And new material on running of engrams, which just came up last year, is rather fantastic. And, my God, if we'd had engrams in 1950, the kind of running which you've got in this new technology on running engrams, nobody would ever have any quarrel. You can turn on anybody, as long as you get the proper duration. Make no mistake in the duration, you always got Vizio in your PC, the one thing, and so forth. And because you're working on a chain, you can always get it back to the point of erasure, don't you see? These are not difficulties. But sometimes you run into an engram, and you run into an engram, and you're trying to erase this thing. And it gums up on you, or it gets stiff or solid, or something weird happens with this thing, and therefore you abandon the chain. You don't carry on and get the earlier engram that underlies it, you see, that will erase and finally pull the whole thing apart. In other words, a half-completed engram erasing cycle. Absolutely deadly. You can take a person and half erase an engram, and half erase an engram, and half erase another engram, and half all on disrelated subjects particularly, and half erase another engram, and half erase another engram, and the PC stuck up like he's in molasses. What's happening? Well, the thing about it is, when you start to erase something, erase it. Now, we see this in class 6 this way. When you get your hands on something, you should finish it off. This is an ideal situation. The ideal is when you got your paws on a GPM, you erase it. You finish it right there. Well, this is debarred by the fact that it is held in relationship to the GPM above and below it by interlocking items so that you cannot complete its erasure without having the two adjacent engrams. This is further complicated by the fact that there's a vagary in the goals pattern that doesn't make it lie there neatly at all. So it's violated to that degree, but look, it doesn't have to be violated completely because you could actually take the guts out of the middle of a GPM these days. And you could leave four items in the GPM and take out the remaining. You could take out the remaining 12. you actually could destimulate it to that, erase it to that degree, you see. Now, the ideal, then, is to finish it up. Well, really, what you do is consider the whole of the first series of goals, the whole series, as the first action, or some half of it, or some portion of it. And the more you have of it, the better. You consider that one action, and then you go ahead and erase everything you've got, you see. You're still dealing with a form of a big cycle of action, see? You say, well, we're going to find half of the first series. We're going to find all of the half first series that we can lay our paws on, and we're going to get it lined up as best we possibly can, and then we're going to erase that, and then we're going to finish getting the remainder of the first series, and then we're going to erase all of those. Well, that's a completed cycle of action, see? You're going down the row here, you see. But in the process of doing that, you can also foul up like mad by half-completed little cycles. For instance, you started to check out the goal to sneeze, and all of a sudden the PC offers the goal to row a boat. And so you drop that checkout, and you get this other checkout to row a boat. And now, having gotten the checkout to row a boat and so forth, that's inconclusive, so you do a goals list on the to row a boat on a represent goals list. See if you can get the right wording of this thing. But you can't really find that, because no goal fires after you've gotten the list done. So you figure you must have something spotted in an incorrect numerical sequence in the series. So you start correcting the series in its numerical sequence of one GPM to the next. Well, that doesn't work out very good, because the PC seems to be terribly nattery. So the best thing to handle that is, in the first place, if you could just find number one GPM on the track, you could always erase that, couldn't you? So let's start listing for it again. The heart of certainty is arrival. The anatomy of uncertainty is a failure to complete a cycle of action, not arrival. So you want your PC to get less and less confident. Doesn't matter whether it's class 6 or any other class. If you want to get less and less confident, just never complete the cycles of action you set out to do, and never complete your destimulative actions before engaging in a new destimulative action. Let the PC's new restimulations get in your road, you see, and just Q&A with his new restimulations, and away we go, and over the hills and far away, and bingety-bang, and isn't life confusing, and isn't the case confused in fair rapidity. This, then, is the difference between restimulation and destimulation, and in either case, you complete a cycle of action. You get somebody into session by getting him into the auditing room. If he comes into session, he's got a lot of present time problems, and then you decide to erase these present time problems. Let's run a process, okay, on problems. Every time he comes into the auditing room, he seems to have an awful lot of problems, so we're just going to set aside the problems intensity, which we are already doing, and we're going to get started now and really clean this case up so he doesn't have all these present time problems when he comes into session. Well, let's see. Let's do now an assessment on his environment, and let's find out what it is in his environment he's mainly having problems about, and then we'll run problems of comparable magnitude on that, or something of that sort, and we'll get this thing all set up. But, of course, in the process of doing this, we run into his lumbosis. And this is sidetracked, and there we go. We have now started the deadly chase, where in a half-completed cycle of action, we're going to get another half-completed cycle of action, so forth. All right, what is the auditor's answer to this? The auditor's answer to this is rapid destimulation, techniques of rapid destimulation. What are these? Since Midroods, last time anything been suppressed? See? When was the last time I audited you? Right, we don't give this guy a chance. We won't give him a chance to have present time problems in the session. And knowing PCs, I would say that there are an awful lot of PCs who can't be audited without very expert handling of since mid-roots or something of the sort. There are lots of them. I don't care what good shape they appear to be in. I don't care how they can live through this sort of thing and so on. The auditor is going to be invited to a Q&A party before that session is very far progressed if the auditor has not destimulated the case first. PC's been thinking about his service facsimile. Let's take somebody at level four. Been thinking about his service facsimile, and what we've actually been doing is we've been running, how would chewing tobacco make the hall maid wrong, you see, or something like this? Who would it make wrong? The PC's been thinking between sessions. We haven't got that flat. And has realized that when he was very young, there was a hall maid, and she used to hit him with brooms and so forth, and it was because of the neglect of his mother. And what the process is really all about is mother's neglect. So really what he's trying to do is make everybody guilty because of mother's neglect, and hadn't we better prep check this? Now, actually, he doesn't come out with all this if it's destimulated. What happens? He's got a present time problem of some kind or another, minor, small. He's been suppressing. He's been thinking. He's got a withhold or two from the auditor, you see. So when the auditor tries to take control of the session, the PC is really elsewhere. There's a little tiny bypass charge situation because he hasn't informed the auditor of things, don't you see? And that alone is enough to cause a little bit of an ARC break. It's not really an ARC break, but you see a little alienness in the session. And that, on the first slip of the auditor, can evolve into an order from the PC. This is just setting it up. So you say, but my God, at the beginning of every session, I waste 35 minutes getting in my sense mid-roots. Well, you waste 35 minutes, but you get back an hour and 55 minutes of auditing. That's what you buy with your 35 minutes of sense mid-roots. By not putting them in, you've wasted 2.5 hours of auditing, flat. Not only that, but you have invited a mess because the PC isn't in session. That is to say, the PC isn't even in the auditing room. The PC is not going to follow through. The PC is going to open wide open invitations to the auditor at every turn to do something else rather than what they're doing. These are the fine ramifications of the thing. But the point is life is restimulative. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but between sessions, you get that sort of thing. Now, this is not an advertisement just for the subject or matter of get in sense midrus. I'm just giving you an example of destimulation. Let me show you a case in point here. PC, we're running class six, we're running them. PC comes up with a fact, I don't know, I kept all night long I kept thinking about these, creative activities that I should be engaged on, and just all night long, and I think there must be a goal here to create. I don't care what you said, I think there must be. I don't care what you said last month when we were checking that goal, I think there must be one, I think we missed it. And that's what's worrying me. Well, now you're not doing that at all. You're trying to get a whole sequence of goals having to do with understanding. And the PC all of a sudden throws this one at you. Now, a good auditor knows what to do. He destimulates it and goes on doing with what he's doing. He doesn't neglect it. He destimulates it. Anything that is not in his main line of action, he destimulates right now. It's gone. You understand? Now, the technique that does that is case analysis. Case analysis has really, for its sole purpose, handling present time problems as they arise. You'll see case analysis has been misused as a term in the past. We're breaking it out into its pristine purity. There's been a missing word, which is track analysis, which is where do the GPMs fit that call that track analysis. This other is just a case analysis, but it's destimulative. It's just got the exact steps that it's got in the bulletin. It doesn't apply only to GPMs, God help us. I've seen this used at a class 1 PC trying to put his GPMs into play. It's a very broad, any level proposition. What's the PC sitting in, all right? The PC's sitting in a present time problem. What's the PC sitting in? He's sitting in a bad foot. You understand? Your second action is get these considerations. What considerations? You had? All right, let's now get the bad foot related to something, whether present time or other bad feet, or he's come up to the time when he used to have a bad ear. You're just destimulating him, you see. And you relate it to something. You now find the PC is sitting either elsewhere or in PT. And you can actually just go on along, mild little concatenation, getting his considerations of everything he is sitting in. He's sitting in position 1, position 2, position 3, position 4, position 5. Get his considerations each time, get his relationship, find out where he's sitting now. Very, very elementary. Very elementary. It actually consists of really two auditing commands. It's no more complicated than that. You don't have to strain your brain on this one. All right. Anything you're concerned with? And so forth? Well, I'm considered with the fact that I'm up all night long. I was thinking about this GPM to create, and I'm sure I've got one. I'm sure last month when you said so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, is that so? All right, what considerations have you had about that? Well, so-and-so and so-and-so, and that last month we checked it wrong, and we didn't do it right, and so forth, and that's all right, good, all right. Okay. Now, you got any other considerations you'd like to talk about with regard to that? No? All right. Well, fine. Now, let's take up these goals that have to do with understanding. The other course is completely fatal. Completely. You're already taking goals that have to do with understanding. The PC is suddenly shoves a goal at you, which is to create variety, so you check it out again. You pushed him into the mud. Listen, if he was that worried, there was nothing showing but a few sparse hairs on the top of his head anyhow, just about enough for you to pick up and grab out, see? Why push him in? An auditor not recognizing these things can get a PC in serious levels. Now, it isn't as apparent at level 1. The dangers of this are not apparent at level 1 at all. You can get somebody to chewing and yapping about this or that or the other thing because he's running at about 1 molecule depth, you see. And even when you get up to 4, even when you get up to 4, your processes are destimulative in the most part. You're really not trying to erase very much. There's no great difficulty with this. You could just get a PC so he felt kind of thick and jammy and kind of upset in general. And sort of nattery and so on. You wouldn't practically kill him. But you get to class level 6, you might as well just take a pistol out of your pocket and shoot him between the eyes. It'd be kinder. Well, you got him in one great big overpowering actual GPM mass that you were busy checking out, and you all of a sudden make him turn around while still stuck in that mass and get involved with another mass. I had an example of this the other night. I had a goal. I was trying to place a goal, and when I hit the right number, in the consecutive sequence, if I hit the right position for that GPM, I was trying to place another GPM in that sequence, see? This thing didn't bother me, this one that was hanging up, until I tried to place another GPM in the proper number it belonged in. Don't you see? I'd gotten to the number the original GPM that I was stuck in belonged in, and tried to place another GPM there, and like knocked top and head off. The GPM that belonged there, of course, rose up full armed. You know, joke, of course, but get out of here, man. This place is occupied. It's a sleeper, in other words. You're in one GPM, and you try to do something with another. Or in one series, you're trying to do something with another series. It's just too much stress and strain, that's all. So you carry out and complete your cycle of action with regard to this sort of thing. Now, I don't want to leave you in any difficulties with regard to this. I'm talking a lot about six. You can just forget what level I'm talking about, because it applies to all levels. You can de-stimulate or re-stimulate. And when the auditor is re-stimulating, why, of course, he's normally trying to erase something. But an auditor always re-stimulates slightly. Re-stimulation in these factors enters into this very little, very, very little. It's whether you re-stimulate or not. That's almost beside the point. It's whether or not you erase or de-stimulate. What is your final target? Are you going to de-stimulate this thing or are you going to erase this thing? See? You have to make up your mind what you're going to do with it, and then stick by your guns. Complete the cycle of action. That's the way you handle it. All right, very good. What is auditing? This probably could take up an enormous lecture all by itself. As a matter of fact, I could imagine somebody talking for several minutes on this subject without drawing breath. What is auditing? Well, you think you know what auditing is, but I don't think you know what auditing is. Auditing is the action of asking somebody else a question, getting an answer to that question, and acknowledging it. We go a little more broadly. It's asking somebody a question about himself or life, which he can understand and which he can answer, getting his answer to that, and acknowledging the fact that it has been answered. And then also, when the person originates some observation with regard to that, to understand and handle that origination. TR 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. No more, no less. That is auditing. When that occurs, TA action occurs. When that occurs, sanity occurs. When that occurs, this occurs. When that occurs, that occurs. In other words, anything you want from this other. That is auditing. Now you say, well, what is all this stress on this definition? Well, you just never heard the definition, that's all. Well, I was auditing this fellow, and we were assessing at the time. What is wrong with that sentence? You weren't auditing, you were assessing. Yeah, but somebody says, but assessment is auditing. I've felt a lot better many times when I've been assessed on something. Auditing hasn't anything to do with somebody feeling better. The final ramifications of auditing have nothing to do with the definition of auditing. That's what auditing is for. It's to make people feel better and so on. But what is auditing? That is all auditing is. And any time you say anything else is auditing, you're going to lay yourself an ostrich egg. I mean, this is one of these horrible things. Now, I've told you a simple datum. And in actual fact, the next immediate action, of course, is to discuss whether or not there ought to be British war vessels on the Yukon to protect the Indians as they bring the hides down. That's all auditing is. The technique is Scientology. Scientology is the embracive word for all of these actions. But auditing is this one peculiar action. Therefore, when we use the word self-auditing, we're using a misnomer. You can't have self-auditing. See, it's impossible. Now, I tell you that there's solid gold at the end of this rainbow if you care to walk that definition out to its final conclusions. If you care to understand your actions at any level as an auditor, only in the framework of that exact definition, there's gold at the end of the rainbow. But if you think you understand it and you don't understand it, you're going to get to the, not the end of the rainbow, you're going to get to the middle of it and fall off. Now, this is one of those horrible definitions that admits of no exceptions, variations, or anything else. And if you accept it at practically an engineering level of precision, you'll have it. And the next thing you know, you got tone arm action, you understand PCs, you can handle PCs, all this sort of thing, and everything starts moving together, click, click, whir. Nothing's very difficult. But you start trying to hang on to the fact that the reason this PC doesn't get tone arm action is because the technique... Well, yes, we can say the technique, we can say this, we can say that, but you're no longer talking about auditing. Well, you can discuss technique, you can say, oh, there's this and that and so on, but don't get it so fuzzied up in your skull that you think you're talking about auditing. You're not talking about auditing. Auditing is one peculiar, particular action. It's a cycle of action. And the odd part of it is that part of the cycle can be an origin on the re-stimulation of the auditor's presence, origin from PC of something that then has to be acknowledged by the auditor. But that's just a calm cycle, and that is the auditing cycle, and that two-terminal aspect, which is what this physical universe consists of, is what gives you tone arm action and is what makes the PC better. It's not a technique that makes the PC better, and it never will be. As long as you're counting on auditing, then auditing is that thing, and when it doesn't exist, you don't get... It goes nowhere. You understand? So you say, now look, let me give you the nonsense here. See? This is the South Sea Islanders once used to boil seawater, and it generated gas, and they put this gas up in this thing because it got from volcanoes, and then Ronson has bottled this, you see, and so forth, and that's therefore the relationships with the South Sea Islander are very important. See, that's one of these data. When you're asking the fellow simply to put it there, see? Whenever you go into this statement or make a statement of this kind, you're cutting your throat as a pro auditor. The reason we aren't getting tone arm action is because he is being audited at too high a level for his case. This is not true, because it isn't true that you shouldn't put people at one level or another in a case, but the error is you have introduced the idea of tone arm action independent of the auditing cycle. That's the error. Can be done. Now, you can do an awful lot of things with this auditing cycle, see? You can put an awful lot of television programs through Telstar, and they amaze and wonderfy the audiences that look at them. But without in Telstar, they'd never get there. So auditing is the carrier wave. As far as a PC is concerned, it handles anything and everything in Scientology. That is it. Now, it isn't that you can't teach a PC. It isn't that you can't inform a PC. It isn't that you shouldn't move your technology around. It isn't that he shouldn't go up through levels.
It's just that that has nothing to do with the definition of auditing. Auditing is simply auditing. It is that action of the auditor asking a question that the PC can't answer, you see, or making a command. And the PC, understanding it, responding to it, executing it, informing the auditor that he has done so, and the auditor acknowledging that fact. And that's all auditing is. PC originates something, and that, well, of course, it's a result of an earlier cycle. So he goes ahead and auditor acknowledges it. That's the same thing. So you could have somebody who was letter perfect on class 6, but who never audited. Wouldn't that be a wonder to behold? It's one of these horrible things that maybe someday, some of you have got it already, but it's some of these days, one of these days, years from now, somebody else here may suddenly say, well, that's what he's talking about, you know? Because unfortunately, it's one of these things that just shoots through everything. You want to know, how do I crack this case? We'll define auditing. Well, you say, that isn't very informative. All right, but that puts us into another type of activity in which an auditor can engage. There may even be an additional type of activity to this, but there's one other principal form of activity in which the auditor can engage, and it's called assessment. Now, auditing goes somewhat to the PC's bank or to the PC. It re-stimulates his bank and talks to the PC and so forth. It isn't that auditing goes purely and entirely to the PC. It goes mainly to the PC. But assessment never goes to a PC. And you cannot assess a PC who thinks he's being addressed. Now you want to know what happens to all these wrong assessments. Well, look at that definition. How do you ever get a wrong assessment? How do you get your E-meter going so flickety-flock? How does it tell you so many lies? Well, the audit and the PC wasn't up to level on this particular subject. He thinks somebody's talking to him. The auditor says cat burrs, bat fur, caterwomps. And the PC said, oh, bat furs, yes, bat furs, yes, yes. I had a bat fur once. Okay. He thinks he's being addressed. He thinks somebody's talking to him. And nobody's talking to him, man. His views of the situation are about as useful but this must be somebody who is pretty re-stimulatable and rather easily re-stimulated to be so egocentric that he is always being addressed. And he must have some fantastic protective mechanism into the middle of the auditing cycle to keep anything from going through anywhere. He must use his present time problems to defend himself at every turn. He must use this, his rebuttals and so forth, to keep it going forward. A lot of things must be going on here, the like of which nobody ever heard of, wrong with the auditing cycle. So when the auditing cycle is out, assessment can occur, but that's about the only way that assessment can occur, by the way, with the auditing cycle out. PC can be madder than blazes and you can still assess the PC. What I mean is that the auditing cycle is out and the PC thinks he is being addressed every time you say caterwomp or bat fur or any part of a list and answers it as a question. You're never going to find out. You're never going to find any items or goals or anything else, see? Because he is insufficiently able on the subject of the comm cycle, auditing. He's insufficiently able, as far as auditing is concerned, to be able to sit there relaxedly because he feels, you know, alert. He feels nervous. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the ConCycle. The auditor, he doesn't like the auditor. Something's wrong with his ability. He can't answer questions. He's afraid of this or that. Some part of this thing is awry. So you try to assess this guy. You wonder why assessment was jacked up so high in these levels. Well, I'm giving you why right now. Until the auditing cycle is very well remedied, and a PC can sit there very, very relaxedly indeed, you haven't got a dog's chance of assessing anything on the PC, because he crisscrosses in all directions, and his mind is like a darting sparrow or a hummingbird. It's all over the place. Zip, 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 zip. You call caterwomp, you know, and my God, you don't know whether the rocket read had to do with the PC thinking, I don't like caterwomps. He's now going to read caterwomps. I know it, you know. Never saying anything and so forth. That auditing cycle is out, so therefore assessment is difficult. You very often have to do assessment with the auditing cycle out, and it will still stand independent to it, because even so, if you ask the right question, even on a thoroughly ARC-broke PC, if you ask the question exactly where the mind, not the PC, where the mind is living, that meter will read. And, of course, the more the PC is calm and able to respond on the auditing cycle, the more reliable reads and more the deeper the meter reads, you see. An ARC-broke PC himself doesn't read on the meter, but you can always bang his bank into reading. ARC breaks. That I just told you is a mouthful all in itself. That's about 15 or 20 hours lecture. The difference between an auditing cycle and an assessment, and what is an assessment, and so forth, that's all very interesting stuff. Let me give you an example. R2H, ARC break straight wire, that's assessment, isn't it? No, it's not assessment, that's auditing. How is it auditing? You're assessing, aren't you? No, you never assess for R2H. What do you mean you don't assess for R2H? You got a list in front of you, reading off to the PC, aren't you? Yeah, but you're asking the PC the whole way. Now, you could turn around and run it on an overt assessment. Just do an assessment. But R2H is basically not an assessment, but a two-way comm with the PC concerning what parts of the comm cycle were out here, and seeing which one agrees was the one out in that particular incident. You're asking the PC to remember the incident. You're asking the PC this, and you're getting the data from the PC that, and you're asking, what the hell has this got to do with assessment, Matt? You start looking over R2H, it's nothing but solid auditing from one end to the other. What's the fooler is there's an assessment sheet in it. There's an assessment sheet in it, but you actually, in its purest state and its best used, you do not assess with it. Well, Class 6, look, Class 6 full of goals lists and item lists and everything else. There's all kinds of assessments to do in there. Yeah, and nothing to do with auditing. Oh, wait a minute, it gives you tone arm action, so therefore it must have something to do. No, I'm sorry, tone arm action doesn't have anything to do with auditing. These Indians, you see, when they come down, often have grease paint, and the Ronson Company. Doesn't have anything to do with it, you see. The point is here that assessment is assessment, and auditing is auditing. And you get somebody who is chittering away like a magpie while you're trying to assess because you can't keep your auditing cycle in, you're in trouble. Also, if he's in that state, well, you're probably going to get a wrong assessment anyway. Lots of things are wrong, but we're not talking about the wrongnesses of it. We're just talking about the purity of definition. There's two targets, the PC and the bank. Assessment is addressed to the bank, and it's the one process that addresses straight to the bank. And it's just from the auditor to the bank, and it had nothing to do with the PC, and there's the meter. Now, sometimes you run an assessment procedure on a PC while the PC is trying to put in the comm cycle, and you get into trouble. But that's why you get into trouble, is you're trying to put in an assessment. You know, you're saying, is this a log? Is it a bog? Is it a dag? A log is 8 years, 9 years, 18 years, and so forth. Next thing you know, your PC's ARC broke. Why is the ARC broke? Well, he actually originated, and you didn't take up the comm cycle. That's why he's ARC broke. It's not the fact that you're talking to the meter. He originated and you didn't take any attention to it and so forth. That's the source of the ARC break. So you assess and audit and assess and audit and assess and audit and assess and audit and audit and assess at the same time sometimes. But that doesn't make them any the less two different actions. They are two distinctly different actions. You go bark, 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 bark on a list. You don't want an audit. You don't want a PC doing this or that or the other thing. A PC it doesn't matter. He can be half asleep. You'll still get the same results on your meter. You shouldn't be assessing PCs in boil-off because they're in boil-off because you've overlisted the list. But they could be in boil-off, and you could still pull a goal off of them. See, it had anything to do with a PC. It just has to do with the bank, between the auditor and the bank. So that action is peculiarly between the auditor and the bank. So that's another part of auditing, isn't it? So that you've got auditing there, and you see, and in... Gotcha. And anything to do with audit. You say, yes, but I got a lot of benefit out of it. It hasn't anything to do with audit. That's Scientology. Yes, I know, but when you find an item, you get this terrific tone arm action. How do you account for that? I'll let you in on something. When you find an item, when no auditing is present, you don't get any tone arm action. It is the auditing that gives you tone arm action always. And the actual RI, big and juicy as it is, doesn't give you any tone arm action at all if there's no auditing present. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that that happens to be an actual provable datum? You can prove it yourself sometimes. You don't get tone arm action, you get a little needle slash. You find an actual RI, great big juicy beast of an actual RI. And you watch your meter behavior, and if auditing were in progress, you see, you give it to the PC, there's auditing, he's in report with the auditor, you've got an auditing cycle going, so you get tone arm action because of the auditing cycle. All right, same PC, let's put him on a one-hand electrode, don't go anywhere near the room. Let him call out the next item that he's to find in the next bank that will give the auditor a division and a half blowdown. Let him call it out, and he'll get a little one-inch needle slash. And that tone arm goes exactly no place. There's enough residual auditing in the bank that he has had to give him that. This is very interesting. Assessing doesn't give anybody tone arm action. It's only an apparency. See, the auditing is going on at the same time. See, so you get the tone arm action because the auditor finds the thing and he says, caterwumps, is that it? Well, it's caterwumps, is that it? So it's a very funny thing. You can actually see an item start to go and you can't make it go all the way until you say to the PC, is that your item? And you've immediately started the auditing cycle. It isn't that any mystery about the PC put his attention on it. My God, how could he help but put his attention on it? He's sitting in the middle of it. And you say, is that your item? And you'll see, you'll see the tone arm come down and so forth. And you very often don't get any blowdown whatsoever. You can find the item on the list. You'll see the needle slash. If there's residual auditing present, you'll get a little tone arm action. But here's what I'm telling you. It's the auditing that delivers the tone arm action, not the assessment. The assessment is a pure, clean, clear activity all by itself. So therefore, you should do case analysis during an ARC break assessment, shouldn't you? Well, you've asked the PC, you found that the bypass charge of the thing was the wrong goal, so you're asking his considerations in an ARC break assessment, you ask him his considerations about this goal, don't you? Like hell you do. An ARC break assessment is given in times of ARC break. The list is also useful for other forms of assessment, but an ARC break assessment is simply an ARC break assessment. And it's a very elementary thing. All you do is assess the list, find out where the needle reads, it's between you and the bank, find out where the needle is, and then you simply indicate what you have found to the PC. That's all there is to an ARC break assessment. No matter how hard you try, you can't make anything more out of an ARC break assessment than that. and during an ARC break, you must not audit. Must not audit. Must not audit. Never audit. Yeah, you say, well, how the hell can you audit possibly? Now, wait a minute. This is an awful brain cracker, because if you can't audit, if you mustn't audit during an ARC break, why, how can you assess? Well, an assessment doesn't happen to be auditing. You must not audit during an ARC break, period. All right, the PC sets very poor goals for the session and seems a little bit unhappy and says he has some problems. Does he have an ARC break? No! An ARC break's an ARC break. An ARC break is when the auditing comm cycle cannot take place. And that's what an ARC break is. The PC is very accusative and he's talking and so forth and he isn't answering any of the audit questions. Well, that's an ARC break. PC's screaming, the PC won't talk. You understand? That's an ARC break. An ARC break isn't anything else. It's just an impossibility of comm cycle. If you force a comm cycle at that time, you will deepen the ARC break. You practically kill somebody with this, man. An ARC break's an ARC break. All right, at the beginning of the session, naturally you had to do an ARC break assessment because the PC didn't set correct goals. Can he talk to you? Or what you doing an ARC break assessment for? He's not ARC broke. He's perfectly auditable. Got a PTP, do case analysis. Well, it's been going on. Where are you sitting? Where's your attention right now? Well, I'm thinking about the Wog-Wog. Well, what have you been in consideration about the Wog-Wogs or any other little stimulating process on the Wog-Wogs? Anything been suppressed since the last time I audited you? Has anything been suppressed? Anything like that? What's your attention on? All right, so let's do some case now, consideration, so forth and so on. How about that now? Oh, that's good. That's fine. Okay, now let's get on about our business. Okay. Get the idea? Has nothing to do with an ARC break assessment. ARC break assessment's an ARC break assessment, and why it is called an ARC break assessment is because it is given during ARC breaks. And auditing is never done during an ARC break. You never audit a PC during an ARC break. Never, but never, but never, but never. Elementary. Now, this is some more of, you put the lighter on the paper, and you put it over on the pencils, and you put it over on the desk. Do you see how the confusions can arise in these very precise definitions I've been giving you? A lot of confusions. Yeah, but a lot of these Indians wear bear grease in their hair. And the shopkeeper down at the corner has awfully dirty fingernails when he tries to sell you. Doesn't anything to do with the price of fish. What you got to do is get these definitions terrifically clean, terrifically clear. What exactly are they? Exactly what are the purposes of these tools, and exactly what do they do? How broad can you apply them? Well, you can apply them awful broadly, man. Yes, you could use the ARC break assessment sheet to help locate bypass charge in the PC and audit the whole time, you see. But that's not an ARC break assessment. It's mixed up your tools, all right, so you mixed up your tools. The crime is not knowing you have mixed them up. Now, there are other ramifications of this kind. I've told you some of these very precise actions, and they are very important. If all you did was sit and remedy somebody's comm cycle, and the auditing, even to this point, what could you originate to me free and clear in a session? You see? What chair would it be all right to sit in an auditing session? It doesn't matter what you ask them, as long as you're addressing their points of disability on the comm cycle, you're going to get yourself TA action. You're going to get PC in session. You're going to get a PC who's whizzing and coming on upstairs. But it's all built in on the basis of knowing with great precision the exact definitions with which you're dealing and knowing exactly what those things are. If you know what they are, why, you're going to make it. If you haven't got them all split apart and figured out, you're not going to make it. One day, the PC is blah, 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 and you pick up
the battle glog over here, and you say, now we're gonna blah, and all of a sudden everything goes bling. You wonder what in the name of God went on here. Well, you picked up this hammer, don't you see, in order to fix the watch. And it didn't work. But they're terribly elementary, but you have to get them very straight so that at no moment do you have, no moment do you have any confusion in your mind. Your ARC break assessment, you mustn't have an ARC break assessment down so badly that you feel the thing to do in an ARC break assessment is argue with the PC, you see. Or if you read line 2, then indicate the charge that you found after you've read line 2 as line 3. These things are apt to cause difficulties. When you have an ARC break assessment occurring by reason of step 6, and then ARC break it by reason of a session ARC break, and you can't go on with your step 6, be smart enough to realize that you now have an ARC break on top of the ARC break and reach for your session ARC break sheet. You understand? Know your tools. Slippity slip, slippity slip. As soon as you got the session ARC break straightened out, you got that found assessed, indicated to the PC. Let's take the R6 one, read it down, finish it off properly. Bang, there it is, straighten it up. Destimulate the whole occurrence maybe with a spat of midroots or something like this after the ARC break has all occurred, because midroots are auditing. These are your various things. Now, I've given you an awful hammer and pound in this lecture of very fundamentals. And if you look them over very carefully, all of a sudden you'll say, that is why this, that is why that, that is why something else. That is why when I audited Josie Bell, I didn't. And that is why when I audited George, I did. That is why I don't seem to make any progress on something or other, and so on. In other words, all these things are figure outable at this basic level. Okay, thank you very much.